Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Access to elected and government officials changed drastically during the pandemic in the spirit of social distancing for public health. But unlike the expiration of the state of emergency order, the changes in how journalists can access and question taxpayer-funded positions and departments have stuck around. And that carries consequences to transparency and accountability. The challenge of the Capitol Press Corps covering the state government has changed dramatically over the past few years. And there is concern of where this is all going. CalMatters' Alexi Kosoff is here. He covers the legislature and state government. We're also joined with Dan Morane. Dan covered California politics for more than four decades with the LA Times and the Sacramento Bee. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
So, Alexi, I want to start with you because you recently published an article in CalMatters, and this really unpacks the challenges facing the Capitol Press Corps. What prompted the piece?
It's been a building issue over a number of years, but it really reached a head in the last few months when the Capitol Correspondents Association, which is the group of journalists that represents the media covering the state capitol in Sacramento, came together and put together a series of guidelines trying to provide ways to push back on the kinds of bad behavior that they're seeing from government officials across the state. And this series of guidelines got me thinking that, you know, there are a lot of people out there who read our coverage and don't realize sometimes how challenging it can be to bring even the most basic sort of story about a program from some state agency or a new announcement to them every single day, that we're running into these blockades with even the most basic public information sometimes.
So what is it like these days to get your questions or even an interview request answered by the governor, legislators, or department heads?
It's a lot more restricted than it's been even in the years that I've been covering the state capitol, and this has really been exacerbated by the pandemic. A lot of times, even just a few years ago, we might have in-person press conferences or phone lines where you could call public information officers at a state agency and have a real conversation, get to know somebody a little bit, and hope that then over the course of time, that relationship would allow you to really work together and get information. And that's been very cut off by the pandemic. Things moved very quickly to everything being done by email. And it's very sort of anonymous bureaucracy that you're dealing with in a lot of cases now, where you just sort of send an email into the void and hope that somebody will get back to you. A lot of times it's from some, you know, press office email. You don't even know who you're talking to. And there's a lot fewer interview requests that seem to be accepted. Everything is sort of written statements, and that makes it very hard to sort of push back or get clarifying questions answered. So it's just this very sort of controlled sharing of information beyond even the way it was 3-4 years ago.
So Dan, given that you have covered the Capitol for decades, what was covering the Capitol like 10, 20, 30 years ago? Did it change from one administration to the next?
Well, sure. It did change. You know, hearing what Alexi's talking about, you know, I've dealt with that too. I left CalMatters and at the beginning of the pandemic of March 2020. And press officers certainly were answering questions via email. It was hard to get them on the phone. You know, I started in Sacramento when Pete Wilson was governor, and then I covered and I spent a lot of time writing about Pete Wilson. He was a pretty accessible governor. You could get him in the hallway. You could get a question to him. He had regular press events. Certainly, Gray Davis was also accessible until you wrote a story that he really didn't like, in which case you'd be frozen out. And he was my job. He was, you know, I covered him, and so I tended to get frozen out. Which actually made it more interesting for me, because then I would just go to, you know, if you can't get in through the front door, you go in through a side door. And so I would get information from lobbyists or legislators. I think that's different today. There are, 37 new members of the assembly? Is that the number? well, they don't know anything about, and are they really going to challenge the governor? I don't think so. So you have, but I do think you have to be creative. You have to figure out a way to get in through the side window if you can't get in through the front door.
Yeah, Alexei, and you did that during the pandemic. I mean, you broke the story of Governor Newsom's infamous dinner at the French Laundry. You know, when it comes to the Newsom administration, I mean, you covered this administration pre-COVID and post-COVID. Has there been a dramatic difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know how much that is the result of the pandemic or just a changing media strategy, but early on, Governor Newsom in particular was pretty accessible to reporters. He held a lot of public events, a lot of gaggles where we could ask questions, press conferences, and that really shifted after the pandemic. These days, he has his eye much more on a national media landscape. He's got a message that is reaching out to voters or Democrats, you know, across the country rather than just here in California. And he's not as interested now in talking to the local press corps. And so that has really changed, you know, the dynamic. As Dan said, you can get information by going around sometimes, but what you don't get is the opportunity to hear directly from the governor himself on the issues that matter most to Californians. He's really just interested in talking about what Ron DeSantis is doing in Florida or what's happening in Alabama or Iowa or whatever these, you know, national culture wars are. And you don't get to press him about the homelessness problem in San Francisco or the fentanyl crisis, you know, on the border or whatever it might be that, you know, you're hearing about from readers and constituents.
Yeah. How does social media play a role in all of this? I mean, I know when I was a TV journalist, you know, I saw a trend increasingly being referred to these edited or curated online messaging that was posted on, you know, Instagram or Facebook, as opposed to having a one-on-one interview where you can ask follow-up questions.
I think that is another element that is certainly changing the dynamic, because there's more ways for politicians to get around the media. They don't need us as much to share their message. So they can just post a video straight to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and take their message uncut directly the way they want to speak it to their voters rather than having to do an interview with us. And so it creates a dynamic where you're chasing people down. And a lot of times it's only the stories where you really need them, which are maybe the ones that make them look bad. And so it sort of creates this dynamic where you don't necessarily get to build up like a good working relationship. It can often be just sort of the tense moments mm-hmm. when you have to get a response about something.
You know, Dan, given that you have this really invaluable context, I mean, when it comes to the days, years, or decades ago of a Capitol press corps that maybe had larger staffs, larger budgets, you know, when we're learning of these new challenges, and we also have smaller staffs and smaller budgets in newsrooms, what's at stake here?
Well, when I arrived at the LA Times Sacramento Bureau, there were 14 reporters. You know, and there aren't 14 today at the LA Times. I know they're trying to hire a few more, but it's smaller. That said, you know, Politico didn't exist then, and CalMatters didn't exist then. And, you know, so I think that the Sacramento Press Corps is pretty, as state capitals go, I think it's pretty well covered. I think there are, it would be nice if the Press Democrat had a reporter here and the Riverside Press Enterprise had a reporter here, the Chico paper. I mean, these were all papers that had reporters here to cover their local stories, cover their areas from Sacramento. That doesn't exist. You know, that said, Gavin Newsom has 2 million followers on Twitter, right? There is no paper in California that has anywhere near that circulation. So he can post a video on Twitter that will get far more reach. And of course he's going to talk to Jen Psaki on MSNBC before he's going to talk to Alexei. Jen will ask him, Jen Psaki will ask him a question about, you know, the abortion ruling or what he thinks of Ron DeSantis, whereas Alexei's going to ask him about the latest contract deal with, you know, some public employee union and get under his skin, right? I mean, it's natural. You know, that said, I've covered Newsom, known him for more than 20 years. And when you go to his events, he doesn't duck your questions, right? So, I mean, you know, travel some, I think, and with him. And I think he would probably get time with the governor. He might brush you off with a question if he doesn't like it, but I think you can perhaps get him, but then Alexei would know better than I would.
I will say that even that has actually changed a little bit. I mean, that's been really interesting because I would say he was a very accessible governor to the media in the beginning. And you know, he may not give you the answer you wanted, but he would at least address your question. But now sometimes, you know, they'll put barriers. You know, I've gone up to him at public events in the last few months twice where staff just stood in my way and wouldn't let me get close enough to ask a question. And so I think, you know, there's just more of a caution now and more of a, you know, more of a care to sort of protect the message, it feels like.
I think the closing of the Capitol and the moving to the building across the way has changed the dynamic.
Yeah.
It started, though, with Jerry Brown when he moved the press office into the horseshoe.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have to leave it at that.
Oh.
Dan and Alexei, I know we could talk about this for probably like the whole hour as three journalists. Dan and Alexei, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan Morain is a journalist who covered California politics for more than four decades with the LA Times and the Sacramento Bee. And CalMatters' Alexei Kosef covers the legislature and the state government. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.